welcome to Food Allergy Fast Pass, the podcast for Disney fans with food allergies.
Hi, welcome to the Food Allergy Fast Pass podcast. My name is Jeff, and I'm here with my wife, Lizzie.
Hello.
And joining us, as always, are Amy and Larry, who maintain the Disney Food Allergy Group on Facebook. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Grant. How are you
doing? How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. So today we're going to focus on the Disney Cruise Line and some of the things you have to plan for when sailing with a food allergy. Larry asked everyone in the Disney Food Allergy Facebook group if they had any Disney Cruise Line questions, and he has those for us. And we encourage our listeners to post questions there that you want us to address in a future podcast. But first, to get us started, Lizzie's going to tell us about the Disney Cruise Line and how they handle food allergies.
Right. Usually when I talk to clients on the phone, it's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hour conversation. So of course we don't have time for that, but I'm going to go over through briefly what I talk about and not get into the nitty gritty details because each cruise is different. Each ship is different. So that being said, it's always great to maybe try to pick one of the smaller ships. A lot of people love the larger ships because they're brand new and shiny. But Jeff and I really love the little ships, right, Jeff?
Yes.
We do. And it's almost like if you've ever been to Disneyland compared to Disney World, it's almost like a little boutique version of the big ships. You get to know everybody really well. So that goes into a lot of play. That being said, once you pick your cruise, you are going to contact it's not called special diets like they are at Disney World. It's called special services. You're going to contact them, and I talk to them probably once a week. There's four members over there. I know them very well. And you're going to tell them your food allergies. You're going to go over, you can order some special items, but that's where it gets difficult. You'll read reviews that someone got a vegan pizza from Amy's. That brand that serves or sells organic frozen entrees. But they don't always carry it. It depends on, I guess, the purchaser or whoever has put in the order, or maybe the price point of different options that they can get. So if you want very specific brand name stuff, it's not always guaranteed ever. Not even ice cream, not even dairy ice cream, dairy-free ice cream. You can get So Delicious or Rice Dream, and those are the top two. You can always request it, but it's not always guaranteed. They always have proteins, just like any other really good Disney restaurant would have. They'll have proteins. They'll have fresh vegetables. They'll have fresh fruit. They'll have frozen fruit, stuff like that. But as far as items that are packaged and produced in a different facility, it's kind of hit or miss, but you can always request them. So you talk to them, you tell them your allergies. And then after that, you are going to look at where you're going on your excursions. You're going to look and see, I guess, basically when you can book your adult reservations for dining, which are really wonderful to do because there's Paulo and there's Remy, and they are absolutely incredibly great. Remy is French and Paulo's Italian, and it's for adults only. And there's a whole lot that goes into that on the adult side and on the kid side. So I always recommend that my clients do brunch, and it's only on sea days. And I recommend that they have breakfast with their little kids. And you're going to make sure you do that. You're going to make sure you pick an early boarding time if you can. If you're not flying in the day of, I always try to tell my clients to fly in at least the night before in case your flights are late, especially in the winter when it snows up north, like where you guys are. It snows up there. And I've had people where they've almost, it's like, you should have planned this, to go in the night before. Like, I know, Lizzie, I'm sorry. And it's worked out, but I always really try to stress that. And also, it's kind of nice if you fly in the night before to stay at a Walt Disney World resort because you know you're going to have a good dinner and a good breakfast before you get on the ship. You're not at a Hilton or a Marriott down by the port. You don't know these people. even though you don't know them at Disney, there's been so many good reviews, and you could really kind of map it out where you want to go. It's a resort. You don't even have to get a park ticket. Right. So that's really important as well. And so you're definitely going to want to plan that ahead of time. So you're going to pick your port arrival time if you can early. So if it's warm, you can sit out and enjoy the pool while everybody else is boarding the ship.
So can I ask you this? How many different port arrival times are there?
Well, it depends on the ship, and it depends on when they leave. Usually they start at about 10:30, 11 o'clock. They used to start at noon, and sometimes they don't even start till noon if it's 10:30. It depends on if there were late stragglers getting off the ship, if they've had a hard time boarding the ship with goods and stuff. But usually that doesn't happen. But usually it's around 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and it goes all the way until 3. And you don't want to get on the ship at 3. Because that's really late. It's going to leave at 4. You know, you really need to be on that ship.
So they just let a certain amount of people on at each time, basically? Is that how it works?
No, not really. If you sign up to do a port arrival time at 12 and you show up at 1, they'll let you go.
Okay.
If they've already started boarding.
Okay.
They rarely let anybody go ahead of time. You want to fill out all your paperwork ahead of time. You want to get your kids all their information in the kids club, your passport, all that stuff. And it's on a handy online Disney itinerary. It's kind of like the MDE, the My Disney Experience.
Yeah.
It's similar to that, but very different because it's a ship. Okay. But you can have all your Larry was information asking, on there.
I think what Larry was asking was they stagger it so you don't have 5,000 people wanting to get on the
ship. Oh, yeah, they stagger it, definitely. Yeah. And you can only pick – yeah, you're right, Larry. I didn't get it that way. You're right. When you – and you want to do that on the day. When you book your trip, they're going to give you a date that you can book your excursions and adult dining and boarding. You have to be paid in full to be able to do that because I know you're committed. You just really have to look at it and say, well, am I going to be there at 10 or not? I always try to book them earlier. And if you don't get in there at midnight to book them, the next day you go and it could be very late. So if you don't secure that time at 10, the next day you go in, it could be like, let's say you did 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be the only thing left is 1 o'clock because everybody else has booked it ahead of time. Is that kind of what you were asking?
Yeah, exactly. I just wondered if they, you know, if everybody, you know, tries to get on at 12 o'clock or book at 12 o'clock time and then it fills up, then they.
Right. They don't do that. You're right. There's only a certain amount of people that can do that. But if you come in late, you can still go. If you booked it and you come in late, you can still go. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yep. So you definitely want to do that. And there are certain head servers, and I was telling you about that, that you can request. I have a whole list of them for my clients. And I request that. I request, you know, there's certain stuff. What else?
You mean like certain food items?
Yeah, certain food items. And certain, you know, some people, they're going to want to have a table by themselves and they don't want to eat with another couple. And so they will say, I want my our family to eat all alone. You've got to note that. There's two dining times. There's the main dining, and then there's the second dining. And the main dining is usually at 5:45. There's different cruises that have different times, but almost all of them at a Port Canaveral that time. And then there's a second dining, which is much later. And so most people that have younger kids want to do the first dining early. And you can always get on a wait list for that also if you book late. And then there's Castaway Key and excursions for other different islands that you're going to go to. And there are certain rules that you really have to follow, and they are very strict. If you go to any of these little islands in the Caribbean or the Bahamas, they don't want you to take dairy. They don't want you to take fruit or any meat products, because those little islands are very sensitive and they can't have any kind of fruit flies, any kind of disease, stuff like that. So you cannot take a prepared sandwich that those great Disney chefs made for you and take on an island, you can't even get off. You can get off the ship, but when you get in, they're going to look at that and you could get fined. You can't even have a cup of coffee with cream in it. They don't want any dairy on their little islands. And it's all, you know, to take care of their animals and their people for health reasons. So what I suggest is that you look at things that your children can eat with their allergies if you were going to go on a picnic or if you were going to go to the park or to the beach. So what we do with Charlotte is we get her hummus, and it has to be manufactured and packaged. It can't be open and twist-tied. It has to be sealed by the manufacturer. So we get her crackers, and we get her hummus. Sometimes we'll do tortillas, and I know if I know I can get an avocado on the, you know, on the island. Mm-hmm. If not, I'll take. And I know this sounds probably really bad, but only food allergy parents would totally understand this because I've told so many people, and they do it, is I'll take a can opener and I'll take a can of organic refried beans and a Ziploc of, not Ziploc, but a sealed package of her Daiya cheese and some tortilla chips. It's all sealed. And we will make her nachos. She doesn't even have to have them heated up, especially if you're somewhere where it's warm and it sits at, gets kind of warm, and she's fine. And always take garlic salt a little bit to try to, you know, make it taste better. Mm-hmm. Just any kind of snack so they don't get really hungry, you know, enjoy life cookies.
Yeah.
There's just all that stuff. You've got to make sure that you do that. Mm-hmm. So you do not want to eat at the ports. And I know that was one of the questions I saw, Larry, was people were asking about eating at the ports. We only eat at 3 or 4 restaurants in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're peanut, tree nut, and dairy. I can't even imagine going to a little island where there are not any, that they have no idea about allergies, or they think they know and they don't.
Right.
So I never risk that at all.
Yeah, exactly. Are there restrictions about any about food that you can bring on the ships at all?
It depends on what ship you're on. I've never seen anything where they've even checked any bags to bring anything on.
Okay.
But they will when you get back to America to get off the ship.
Okay, right.
When you go through customs. They don't want you to bring any kind of agriculture. It's the same kind of thing, you know?
Right.
But what I suggest is for my clients, for their excursion days, to have their meals ready to go and to always book the night before as if you were not going on an excursion in case it rains. So you still have your meal in the dining room for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'll go over that real quickly. What you're going to do each night before you go to breakfast, lunch, and dinner the next day, you're going to get a menu, and you're going to ask, I always tell my clients, ask for a menu for the next restaurant because you're on a dining rotation, to ask for that menu and go through it and kind of look at it. I like to do it at the beginning of dinner and look and see what the options are that Charlotte can have. And I can kind of read a menu by looking at the components and putting it together instead of saying, well, there's no dairy-free stuff. I will talk to our head server and say, do you have dairy-free rolls? And I say yes. So I know she can have that. I know she can have chicken. I know that she can have the French fries. And I'll make her a meal. I know she can have the pasta, marinara sauce, a salad, green beans, that kind of stuff. So even though it's not as a meal on the menu, I know that the components are there and that we can make a safe meal for her. Or they can. And you kind of put it together. And we do that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, the tricky thing is this, is you may have a head server who says, I'm going to be at Cabana, which is like a buffet, and I want you to come see me there and not go to the dining room. So I personally would go to Cabana and see him because he's your direct line of communication to the chefs. And I would go with him and go see him in the morning and say, yeah, we're here. This is what we want. You know, we told you last night. And so he'll go back there and get it ready for you. Or the chef. He'll bring it to you.
Can you explain a little bit about, like, you said a head server. What does the head server do?
Okay. A head server is kind of like a maitre d'.
Okay.
He may have like 15 tables at a restaurant.
Okay.
And he is, he's always got a white suit on or a blue suit. They are very flashy. They've got lots of gold on. You'll definitely know who they are.
Okay.
They're like a maitre d', but they don't work at a podium. They work tables, and they oversee the servers. And so your server's the guy who's going to take your order, most people's orders except for the foodology. And some of the head servers, the servers are good about taking, you're just going to have to play it by ear and see. Some of them are very seasoned and they know. They can take your order for the next day and give it to the head server. Some of them are new and you can kind of feel it. And he'll say, let me get the head server for you.
Okay.
And so there's an assistant server, and they're the people that bring the drinks, clean your table. So there's the head server, the server, and the assistant server.
Okay.
Head server is your number one communication to the kitchen. He is. Sometimes the chefs won't come out. You'll never see a chef. It's very different than Disney. Sometimes the chefs come out. It's kind of hit or miss. It depends on what ship you're on, who your head server is, who the chef is. It really depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've been on Disney cruises where we've never seen a chef ever.
Okay.
And we've had spectacular meals.
Yeah.
That being said, that head server and the assistant server all get gratuities. Like on every cruise, you pay for a gratuity. Mm-hmm. And the assistant server and the servers get more than the head server because he's got a lot of more tables. But he's the most important guy on the entire ship for our families. So we make sure and tip him a whole lot of money because he makes everything worthwhile, you know? And then you'll get some spectacular servers as well. When you get on the ship, there's what's called the dining session. A lot of people don't know about it, but it takes place on every single sailing. It's never pre-planned, so there's not a place where it is. There's not a time. It just, you have to find out when you board the ship. You have to go to guest services and ask them. Because there's all these different groups that go on Disney Cruise Line that like to use the adult lounges as meet and greets. And so they'll know that morning, they'll put it together where it's going to be. You're going to go, you're going to find out where it is. You're going to go there. You're going to see the head servers. They'll all have their laptops flipped up and you're going to tell them where you want, you want to eat by yourself. You want to maybe join some other people, your foodology, and he's going to flip it up and he's going to read it to you first just to kind of make you feel secure that they know what they're doing. And then at that time, if you want to get additional dining to Paulo or Remy for brunch or for dinner that you couldn't get, you can book them then. But that's really important to go to, I think.
So how do you find out when that's going on?
You have to board the ship.
Okay.
It's usually at 3:00. Sometimes it's at 2:30.
Okay.
Sometimes it's at 3:15. It really depends on how the ship is working out and how many private groups are meeting in these different restaurants. And they're usually adult lounges.
And guest service is located right there in the same area where you board the ship.
Yep. Oh. And you can walk up there and ask them and they'll tell you where it is.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a crucial thing for food allergy people to go to, right? I mean,
It is, but it's amazing how many people that don't know about it, don't go through it.
And
they're fine.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. Because the crucial part of it, Larry, is the planning all before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you meet your head server that evening to tell him all your food allergies, go through it, and make sure and let them know that you're going to tip them very well to take care of you because, you know.
So the head server, let me ask you this. Is he going to be at all the different restaurants that you're at?
Yes, they're going to follow you the entire time you're on a dining rotation.
Oh,
and
okay.
We become best friends with him. He's our best friend on the ship.
Yeah.
Yes. Some of the people that I know tip half of it ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't. They don't tip very much. Some people tip a whole lot. It kind of goes, you know, back and forth. But when you first board Disney Cruise Line, and this is the part that gets everybody the most nervous, I would think. just from talking to people, is that you're going to go in there for lunch and you haven't talked to a head server. You haven't even gone to the dining session yet because it's new.
Right.
Right. You're going to go to this place called Cabanas and you're going to ask for a head server and you're going to tell them we have severe food allergies. We haven't talked to anybody yet, but this is who we are and this is our allergy. Will you please take care of us? And they will, but it makes a lot of people really apprehensive and nervous.
Sure.
Because they haven't talked to an official yet, right? But yep. We've never had a problem with that. And even if you were at Walt Disney World and you wanted to take some beignets or a sandwich that someone had made for you at Port Orleans French Quarter that you thought was, you can take that on the ship.
Yeah.
And eat it if you don't feel comfortable doing it.
Right, right. Now, did you say before that you can note your allergies? You mentioned about special diets. It's called something different.
It's called special services.
Special services. So you yes. can. So you, what do? You send them an email and say.
No, you have to call them. They don't do a whole lot. They do some by email, but they really prefer to be called on the phone.
Okay, so you're. So I'm saying.
When you book your cruise, you can ask for that phone number, and they'll give it to you.
Okay, and your allergies will be noted on your reservation or whatever. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And I have staterooms specially cleaned according to what different families have for their food allergies.
So right.
If you have really bad asthma, we all know it runs in that triangle, you know?
Yeah.
You have food allergies, eczema, asthma.
Yeah.
But I always try to get them non-chemically cleaned unless somebody demands chemicals. I've only had two clients have always, you know, said, I need the chemicals. I want them. And
Yeah.
But most everybody else is fine with that because I think it's better that you don't have an asthma problem when you're at sea. Like your first asthma, you don't want that to happen.
No,
so it's sure. better not to have any chemicals in. And they'll change the filters. They'll deep clean it. It'd be really nice.
So what's the protocol if somebody does have a reaction at sea?
If somebody does, of course, you can have your EpiPens with you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can inject him or her or yourself with an EpiPen.
Right.
And you're going to tell a cast member right away. Down on deck one is the medical office.
Yeah.
And there's a doctor on staff. There's a nurse on staff. They have epinephrine. And they have steroids such as prednisone, which you would take. They have breathing apparatuses. They have all of that on the ship.
Okay.
Yep. And if it's
a doctor and one nurse on the ship?
Well, it depends on the size of the ship, too.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But we've never had to use it, thank goodness. I've never had a client that's ever had to use it, but I know. And as you guys know, that you can always become allergic to a new food allergy and you never know when it's going to happen.
Sure.
So I have everyone, you know, prepared for that. If it does, what to do. I always, always, always suggest that people get insurance.
Yeah.
Because it's $50,000 to be airlifted off of the ship. Some insurance companies won't pay for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of money, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you do get insurance.
Okay.
Yep.
Nope.
And there's so much that goes into it. So ask me some more questions that you got.
Okay. One more real quick. You also recommend people take an extra
prescription. I do.
Yeah.
If you are on an excursion and this goes for the parks as well, and you're having fun with your family and your 10-year-old loses their backpack with their EpiPen in it or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you have a prescription for it, you can always, you know, get another prescription and I always keep them in the safe.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about, Jeff?
Yep.
Okay.
And I used to, when my son was, you know, separate from us playing baseball when we're down in Florida, I always kept an EpiPen or two on me and he'd have his just in case something happened to his bag, you know. So
exactly.
I would do the same. Bruce, you know, just to have an extra pen or two,
right?
Separate.
A lot of people are asked. A lot of people seem to be concerned about Mickey waffles. Are there Mickey waffles on the cruises?
Yes, there are, and everybody loves Mickey waffles. This is the thing about Mickey waffles. They're usually made in one dining room. And if breakfast doesn't happen to be served, there's always that Cabanas up next to the pool that's a buffet. There's usually one place that you can get, and it rotates as where you can get breakfast and lunch and have people serve you at a table service. If they don't have it at that restaurant, they'll tell you it's going to take us about 20 minutes to go down and bring them back up.
Okay.
You're just going to have to kind of weigh it. Is it that important or is it not? Now, with our daughter, yes. So what I tell people to do is you might, if you really want those Mickey waffles, to go down maybe 10 minutes early. Then everybody else, order it, get yourself a cup of coffee, read the paper, and order the waffles. And so by the time everybody else comes to breakfast, you can, you know, everybody else order and it's going to come right out. Or sometimes it's even a buffet, even in one of the dining rooms.
Right. What about snacks? Like, are there any safe snacks on board, or do they have anything that's like the snacks with character or anything like that that are on the ships?
There's always a package store on the ship that has alcohol. It has Lay's potato chips, but they're always closed when you get to a port. So don't plan on getting that bag of Lay's potato chips that you want to take. To Nassau with you. And then you go up there and it's closed.
Right. Right.
And other snacks up, it depends on the ship, but on the Dream and the Fantasy, there's Flo's V8 Cafe and it's close to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And they have top 8 free chicken tenders. They have a dedicated fryer that they'll do French fries in. They'll do chicken nuggets. They'll do stuff like that. The hard thing for kids with food allergies on Disney Cruise Line are the sweet treats.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the hardest thing. But we don't eat a lot of them anyway. Like, we don't eat a lot of ice cream in our house. Even So Delicious, we just don't. So I just kind of steer her clear of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So she doesn't see it. And if you go to dinner and you get something that your child loves, if they give like a great cupcake or a great chocolate mousse or something like that, that you just, your child's over the moon, say, you know what, can we have 2 or 3 more?
Yeah.
And take them back to your room and put them in your refrigerator.
Right. Yeah.
And that might be something. Even donuts, they have great donuts that are pretty much they're probably about top 7 free because most of them have egg in them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we've done that at the we've gone back to Shudder's at the Caribbean Beach because they make these amazing cupcakes there. And, last time we were there, you know, my son ordered